I'm Jim Rome, a tremendous Friday to you. Welcome to the jungle. I am live. We start hour number two in Southern California, where I live, where I was born, where I reside, where I work. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. He is supposed to join me in this spot. We're going to get him in a few moments. Meantime, we talked all about what happened last night. Browns, Steelers, Myles Garrett losing his head. Mason Rudolph losing his helmet. It ending up in Garrett's hand, and he then used it to smash Rudolph in the head. For that, he gets an indefinite suspension. Reportedly for the rest of the regular season and the postseason, and an undisclosed fine. Does the punishment fit the crime? Tough to say because we don't know what the punishment is. But the league did the right thing to act swiftly, punitively, make a statement, buy themselves some time. And we're getting a lot of reactions. Some of you seem to think that it's not all his fault. Some of you seem to think that it's not his fault at all. Some of you seem to think that the Steelers started it, that Mason Rudolph started it because he grabbed at his face mask first, because he may have kicked him in the junk. I've already told you my thoughts on this. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he did. I really don't give a damn. I share the same opinion as Freddie Kitchens. We're not giving him an excuse. There is no excuse. He's got to maintain his composure. I mean, I still for the life of me, I can't believe that I have to say this, but you can't rip a player's helmet off and smash him in the head with the same helmet. Or your helmet. Or anybody else's helmet. You can't. 1-800-636-8686. All right, we'll pick that conversation up in a minute, but we are joined right now by the head coach of the Toronto Raptors in his second season as Raptors head coach. He led them to their first NBA championship in team history. Toronto was out quickly. They're 8-3. They're at Dallas tomorrow night. We are joined by their head coach, Nick Nurse. Nick, it is good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
Nick, I'm great. It's great to visit with you. Thanks for making time. Got a few things to discuss with you, starting with that win over Portland Wednesday night. Pascal Siakam had 36. Fred VanVleet had 30, Nick. So I got to ask, what gets you more fired up? Those two guys going for 66, or the fact that you held Damian Lillard to just 9 points?
Well, to nine, because that's almost impossible to do. That was fun. Our guys are playing hard, and we've had a bunch of injuries on the road, Jim. And VanVleet just keep getting better and better, and guys have been playing well.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. Nick, the phone connection is not great, but I'm going to try and work through that and see if it gets a little bit better. As hard as it is to shut down Lillard, that's not a fluke now. Already on this road trip, you've held LeBron to 13, you held Kawhi to 12, you even broke out that box and won against Lillard. So how pleased are you overall with the defensive execution on this trip?
Yeah, I got to be really pleased, Jim. There's no doubt about it. It's, we're playing hard and we're giving a tremendous effort on defense, and that's one thing, but executing certain schemes and being able to do it over the course of one game is also one thing, and then being able to kind of string it up for a few games in a row. So there's some buy-in there, there's some consistency there, and there's some really, really great effort, which is what you need for defense.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. I don't want to jinx it, Nick, but now that connection sounds good. Let me ask you specifically about those two guys, starting with VanVleet. He played the entire second half against the Clippers. He played 40 minutes against the Blazers. You had to practically battle to rest him in the fourth quarter. So what do you make of the way he has stepped up without Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, he's like another Kyle Lowry, Jim. He's really similar, his toughness and his playmaking, his leadership. And just a winner. You know, he won big time in college. He played in the G League for our team and won a championship there. And obviously he was super clutch in the finals last year. You know, he's a hell of a player. I can't say enough about him. It's hard to get him off the floor. He's that important to our team.
Raptors head coach Nick Nurse back in the jungle. And then you have Siakam, who was the most improved player last year. And then, Nick, you challenged him to be the man this year. What do you make of the way that he has responded to that challenge so far?
Well, he's been great. His scoring average is up almost 10 points a game, but I really love his rebounding. It's over 9, almost 10 boards a game. you know, the opportunity presented itself, you know, with Kawhi and Danny leaving, you know, it was about 30, 32 shots a game exiting as well. And Pascal had to fill in as kind of our go-to guy. And so far, so good. He's really embraced it. And he's, again, he's getting better and better. And I think this guy is both for him yet.
Talking to Nick Nurse. You know, Nick, every season is new and it's different, but this season obviously is very different given that you won a championship and there are significant changes in the roster. So I'm kind of curious, how did you approach that in camp? For instance, does the identity of the team change when players change, or is the identity consistent no matter who's there?
Well, we hope to keep the identity the same, Jim, because, you know, we thought we played defense last year, right? We were a good defensive team, and you're not going anywhere in this league or most leagues, to be honest with you, if you're not playing good defense. And we try to share the ball. And I think, you know, you got to get through some moments of playing great team basketball on the offensive end, but you also got to be able to blend in going to your go-to guys at the right times, because I just think that's how it ends up being in the playoffs. Your go-to scores are going to be called upon to make big buckets.
You know, it seems to me that Siakam is trending towards superstardom. I mean, he didn't take a step when Kawhi left. It looks like he's taken an enormous leap. As an example, it was not that long ago that he was not that much of a shooter. He's been working on that for a while now, Nick, and now he's hitting pull-up threes. Maybe there's still more room for improvement there, but how far has he come in that regard?
Well, he wasn't a very good shooter at all when he first got to us, Jim, and he really, give him a lot of credit, we retweaked all his mechanics almost back to, you know, grade school level, like 3 feet, you know, perfect form shooting, and he really did a great job at working through that stuff. His mechanics are really sound now. His balance, his follow-through, his release, all that stuff sound. He's still got a ways to go just because that, you know, that kind of develops over some years. But his mechanics are sound. His work ethic is great. I think it's just a matter of time.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. Nick, I remember talking to John Calipari after he won his title at Kentucky, and he said that he did not wake up the morning after that game feeling like he was a better coach the day before it. You and I spoke shortly after you won your championship. Now that you've had some time to reflect, does winning an NBA championship make you a different coach in any regard?
No, not really, Jim. I just think you get up and you go to work, and for me it's the same. You try to get your guys playing hard, playing together with chemistry and some toughness, and then you see who's coming at you, and you try to figure out how to beat them. You put a scouting report and a game plan together and just approach it the same.
My man, that's great. You know, that said, Nick, as crazy as it is, you're only in your second season as an NBA head coach. So is there something maybe you know about being an NBA head coach now that you did not know at this time last year?
Well, I think the one thing you do know, Jim, is that it's a process of getting from October to June, right? It's a growing process. It's a learning curve, and there's a lot of basketball to be played between now and the playoff hits. And when that hits, it's some intense stuff, man. The playoffs are some 2 months of super intense toughness, game plan execution, mental toughness, making plays. And it's a process that you got to kind of grow through as the season goes. And I think I got to experience that last year.
Yeah, so knowing what you know right now, I wonder about that process. Nick, knowing that the postseason is that ultimate test, that ultimate grind, it tests you mentally, it tests you physically. At what point during the regular season do you start to adjust the process to gear up for the postseason process?
Well, I think it depends on what team you have, Jim. You know, I think last year we didn't do it till later on. It was new. Still learning me. We hadn't put in a lot of defensive schemes, et cetera, that I knew we were going to need for the playoffs. After going through that this year, we probably got a few more of those in now, so we're able to use some of those things now. But I would say, you know, I think after the All-Star break, you start peeking down there and looking towards the end of the year.
Talking to Nick Nurse for a few more moments. Nick, I got to ask, what was a bigger moment for you personally? Winning your first NBA championship in June, or winning your first coach's challenge on Sunday?
The championship was better, but that winning that coach's challenge felt pretty darn pretty darn good too. I think I was 0-for-6, Jim. Couldn't get one right. So it was a mini celebration we had there getting that first one right.
And Nick, both those things, you earn both those things, and nobody will ever be able to take either one of those things from you.
Thank you.
I got to ask you really quickly. There are a lot of things you could have done after winning that championship, and it would seem like maybe relaxing, taking the edge off, would have been at the top of the list. Instead, you signed on to be the head coach for Canada basketball. What was it about the opportunity that excited you, and what did you take away from that experience?
Well, I think it's a great moment for basketball in Canada, Jim. There's tons of talent. There's 20 Canadians in the NBA now. There's a great chance for our team to make the Olympics. I don't know if you saw the FIBA release today, but we're hosting the Olympic qualifying tournament in Victoria, British Columbia in June. So we'll have a chance to get our guys to play and hopefully make the Tokyo Olympics at the end of the summer.
Nick, last thought. You and I talked about your journey in the past and some of the stops along the way, like that run you had with the Iowa Energy in the D-League. You led them to the 2011 championship, and tonight the plan is you're going to be honored at the Iowa Wolves game in Des Moines. What does the time with the Energy mean to you, and what's it mean to you that they want to honor you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have been in the NBA without the Iowa Energy, Jim. I mean, I was kicking around coaching overseas and minor leagues and things like that in the summer, but that Iowa Energy getting me in the NBA Development League at the time, which is now the G League, gave me a chance to kind of get in the NBA circle, and do some things where people would take note, and that's certainly wouldn't be there without them. So I'm excited to go back and celebrate the NBA title with everybody from Iowa.
Nick Nurse, my guest. Nick, I got to say it for the record. You're a hell of a coach. You really are. Toronto Raptors head coach.
Thank you.
Second season as Raptors head coach. Led them to a championship. And they're at Dallas tomorrow night. Nick, I appreciate you. Great to have you back on the show. Always good to talk some ball with you.
Thanks, Jim. Always been a big fan, man. Thank you very much for having me.
You too. Nick, great talking to you. Congrats. I don't know. Like, he would have gone and I would have said that, but for whatever reason, I felt the need to tell him directly. You're a hell of a coach, Nick. I mean, this guy is the elite coach. He is a hell of a basketball coach. And to lose who they lost and to see them pick up where they are right now and play the way they are and still have that defensive mentality and to lock guys down the way they have. As I mentioned, they shut down Damian Lillard. Not a fluke. Already on that road trip, they held LeBron to 13, Kawhi to 12. Broke out that box and won on Dame. They are strong. Still had my thoughts on Carmelo Anthony getting another look. Damian Lillard, speaking of Dame, he had been out and on record as trying to get Carmelo Anthony, pitch Carmelo Anthony to come to Portland, and finally, it's going to be a thing. Something we did not do yesterday, we are going to do today. It's normally a Thursday thing. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, I forgot. Alvin's not here today. You know what that is, JK. JK's great. JK knows all the drops. Yeah, dude, I know you want me to play Sark. I just don't know where to find it. Get ready for another rousing edition of What's Your Beef? The segment presented to you by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. So whatever you're beefing about, obviously we had a whole first hour beef on what happened last night. That can be your beef. If you want to beef about somebody or something else, I will get to it a little bit later on. In fact, probably this hour. Do it. Load it up. The segment, thanks. Way to get that in today, Flight Deck. Way to get that in the same day that I said it, Flight Deck. Way to get that in the same week that I said it, Flight Deck. Dude, never sit in that chair. You're like my favorite guy. But now if you're going to sit in that chair and you're going to do crap like that, you're going to be less than my favorite guy. Maybe still my favorite guy, but not by as much. The segment's going to go back to where it normally resides. Tuesday and Thursday of next week. In the meantime, remember, if you want a protein snack, what you want to do is ditch the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Call with your beef. Tweet with your beef. Email me your beef.
Get ready to fry it on, baby.
Oh, all is forgiven, Big Head. James Kelly. Nobody like him. Clones. What do we want when we're craving protein and we need more energy? Let me answer that by telling you what we do not want. We don't want bars. We don't want sugary snacks. We don't want energy drinks. We want beef, pure and simple. Where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your dad's jerky. It's not shriveled up. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. So what makes it so good? The company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take their smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it does come in four amazing flavors. Take it with you wherever you go. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. And you got a couple of the most dynamic QBs in the game, of course. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Who you got? A couple of MVP candidates. Then you've got New England and Philadelphia. It all starts with JB and the fellas on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I'm not there this weekend. I will be there next weekend. This guy's got a different angle, which is good. I'm always looking for a different angle. Hey, Rome, love seeing that attention-seeking show-off Rudolph get put in his place. That's how it's done. Regards, Blitzen.
Oh, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny
nose. You know, when it all goes down, it's always good to see which teammate's going to rush in and have their teammates back, right? We saw Pouncey. That cost him, by the way, but we saw him rush in to defend his teammate. And there you have Blitzen rushing in to defend Rudolph. Thanks, Vadi. Vadi in Pasadena with that one. Love seeing that attention-seeking show-off Rudolph get put in his place. That's how it's done. Regards, Blitzen. Remember, we had a call from Youngstown. And again, it's from Youngstown. It's from Ohio. Youngstown has been a great jungle town for years. I'm a big Youngstown fan. And there have been a few notable athletes, professional athletes from Youngstown. But it would stand to reason that somebody from Youngstown would have the Browns back. It would stand to reason that somebody from Youngstown would hate the Steelers. The Browns and their fans hate the Steelers. The Steelers and their fans hate the Browns in Cleveland. It's an amazing rivalry. I'll never forget the first time I went back to C-Town before one of our tour stops in the 90s. It was before a Browns-Steelers game. And I remember walking around outside the stadium before that game. I mean, you could feel the hate. You could feel it. I saw both sides, and they were there tailgating. This guy said, though, come on, Rome. Let's have the right perspective here. Let's have the right perspective. Jim in Youngstown said, Rudolph was throwing the ball at the end of the game. So what do you say we have the right perspective here?
Let's get the right perspective here because, honestly, I've been waiting for the Cleveland Browns to win a game, thank God. But let's get the perspective straight here. However short the game was, you're losing. Shame on the Pittsburgh Steelers for having their quarterback go back to pass in the first place. They should have handed the ball off. The game would have been over. So let's put the blame on who should be blamed and who right now is not getting a suspension.
All right, so right there. Should we suspend a guy for throwing the football in a game that everybody knew was already over? Should we blame the guy who threw the football? Let's not blame the guy who ripped the helmet off the guy and smashed him in the head with it. No. Let's blame the guy who still had his helmet on for throwing the football. Because the game was over. I mean, you just don't do that. You threw a pass with under a minute to go I mean, what? Were you going to have a 14, an a 90-yard, 14-point touchdown, Mason? You threw a late pass. You know what? Here's what you get. You know what? Everybody knows the code. If you go back to pass in a game that's already over, we're going to rip your helmet off and we're going to beat you senseless with it. Everybody knows that. You're taught that in peewee football from day one. And don't you dare throw the football in a game that's already over or someone's going to rip your helmet off and beat you senseless with it. Is that what you're telling me? I'm still getting reaction to that phone call. That's why I reset that phone call. Hey, Rome, I agree with that kook. I would like people to start blaming the knife and not me for Ron and Nicole's murders. Signed, Oge.
Oh.
Eric near the Canadian Falls. This guy was more to the point. Hey, Jim in Youngstown. Shut the bleep up, you Ohio hick. Piece of trash. You have no effing idea what you're saying, you inbred ass clown. Bleep you and bleep those clowns. Browns. Mike in Tampa, formerly from Pittsburgh. They hate each other's guts. They really do. And if the teams don't, the fans do. War, Jungle, Carmel. More than one professional athlete has told me how much they love that phone call. The Jungle Carmel phone call. I'm not going to say who they are, but more than one have. Hey, Jim, that caller's right. It's almost as if the helmet hit me. Signed, Miles Garrett.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
Hey, Rome, regarding Jim in Youngstown, that's a horrible take. Ross and Raleigh. It wasn't a good take. You know, if he had just stuck to, what about Rudolph? He was the one grabbing at Garrett's helmet first. What about Mason Rudolph? Didn't he try to kick him in the junk? I mean, I can have that conversation. That's a more reasonable conversation. I don't agree with it. It still does not justify what Garrett did. Those two things, if Rudolph did that, and he may have, I'm not sure what he did. I'm not sure what he said. But if your argument to me is, yeah, but he was grabbing on his face mask first. He kicked him in his junk. So, of course, the guy was mad. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been mad. I'm not saying that he should not have been mad. I'm saying he should not have ripped his helmet off his head and cracked him with it. Yeah, Rome, but he ripped his helmet off his head first. All right, but he didn't smash him with it, did he? It's not even one of those, yeah, but the optics are bad. It's bad. The act is bad. Weaponizing somebody's helmet is bad. And notice you don't see any of these, like, old school guys coming in here. Like Jim in Youngstown, like, easy, Dick Butkus. But even those guys aren't justifying it. Even the guys who played the game back in the day are not rushing in to say, hey, listen, times have changed. But when I played the game, when they played the game, they didn't do things like that. It's never all right. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for reaction. And you want to get it in right now, because here's how this sets up. Josh Griffin, top of the hour. Peter LaViolette, right after that. The 4 days that were, right after that. The ATP, right after that. You're running out of time. You want to get in next segment. Next segment is the best segment for your reaction if you want to talk about this. I've already given you my thoughts. The suspensions have already come down. Now we're just waiting to find out how long indefinite is as it relates to Garrett. All right, coming up next, your reaction. With that.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. 1-800-636-8686. I'm hammering that phone number because this is your last chance, really, or your best chance before the end of the program to get through. Next time you want a protein snack, you want to ditch the drinks and bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack, which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Let's do a What's Your Beef segment. Normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we carried it over to today. Starting with this. Dear Jim, my beef is with wind. Signed, Ben Affleck's wig. Brett from Bugahaw, sports guy. Yeah, because that's a sports take, right, Brett? Hey, Rome. Today, my beef is with car salesmen. Who approaches you while you're getting an oil change and tune-up to the sled that you just paid off? I respect almost everybody's career path, but I'm talking about the guy that takes it to the Austin Rivers level. The guy who at a certain point just enjoys the fact that he's bleeping with you so hard that he's cleared his calendar to do so, almost daring you to go illegal hands to the face on him. I can't stand that crap. Mike in Peoria. It's tough, man. They're under pressure. They got to sell. They don't get paid if they don't sell. They don't get paid if they don't sell, and they see you as a qualified prospect. Like, you wouldn't be coming on the lot if you weren't thinking about a new car. Well, actually, I'm thinking about an oil change. I'm not thinking about a new car. Personally, hey, by the way, that new car that I'm about to sell you comes with free oil changes for the first 10,000 miles. I learned my lesson way back in the day. I do not get on the wrong side of those folks. I did, and it went badly. So I'm just going to leave that alone. No, my beef, and I understand, I've already talked about this, but really quickly, my personal beef, if you want to talk about somebody trying to sell you something, I don't beef on that because I was in sales, which is why I'm in radio. I tried to sell. It was a nightmare. It went terribly. I was horrible at it, and I wanted to be good at it, and I tried hard, and I hated it. I always respect salespeople. It is a hard gig, and not to respect less. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I just said, you got to get off that guy's back. He doesn't get paid unless he sells. The problem I have is when I go to the mall. And yeah, I actually, you know, mall those things with stores that are inside and outside. I still do that sometimes. And I don't even hate that like some people do. But I'm starting to. Because now if I go into a department store, man, they are all up in your business. Man, they're following you around everywhere. Like, why are you in my ass? Why are you in my grill? Yeah, I know. I know you're there if I need help. So why are you following me around? Literally. Physically following me around. And there's no 10-foot rule either. Man, homeboy is in my business. I'm like, man, yeah, I know where you are. I know your name. I know where you are. I know where you work. As soon as I find it, you will get credit for it. Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Roma? How about them Lakers? Yeah. How about that briefcase? How about I just leave? I'm there, man. I'm going to buy something. I really am. That's why I'm there. And you're going to get credit for it. Except now you're not, man. Because I couldn't take five steps without you being in my backside. That's my beef. Hi, Jim. You want to know what my beef is? Stupid people that think that Mason Rudolph started the incident last night and therefore deserve getting smashed, smashed, smashed on the skull with a helmet. Sit the hell down. Shut the hell up. Bella B. in Calgary. What's up, Bella? Dear Jim, what's my beef? Employee parking lots that require a badge to get out. Why do you need to prove you work there in order to leave? If you weren't an employee, you wouldn't have gotten in the first place. That's fair. Romy, I can't tweet my beef, but I can text it to you privately. Sincerely, Brett. The old gunslinger. Jeff C. and NC. Yeah, I see what you did there, Jeff. I don't respect it. And neither does anybody else. Let's go to Harrisburg. Jason in Harrisburg. Jason, what's up?
What's up, Jimbo? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about when I say that no matter how hard you try to avoid it, at some point you're going to have to get all wrecked in Albuquerque with it in a public bathroom, and it's usually at work. My beef is with the guy who was in there before me and left a bunch of short hairs all over the seat. Dude, was the wait
staff. Now, James Kelly, right.
No.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
James Kelly.
Not a very good
car. Why are you looking around like, huh? Should I run that? Yeah, bro, he just talked about short hairs on the toilet seat. You go ahead and run that. Go ahead and run that, dude. You don't need permission to run that. Not from me, not from Hawk. You got the biggest head in the studio. I'm presuming you got the biggest brain inside the biggest cavity. Go ahead and run that, bro. You will not get in trouble for running that. I will not come down on you if you run Jason in Harrisburg prematurely. Just do it, man. Hit the bleeping button, James. You're still my guy. I knew moving one seat over is really tough, especially when you only sit in that seat once a week, bro. Hit the freaking button. Or the two of you knuckleheads can change seats. Can you do that? Hawk. Flight deck's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm just doing you a favor there, boss man. You want my picks tonight or not, boss man? You want to make some money? You want me to tell you who I'm betting on this weekend, boss man? Then get off my ass. That's fine, bro. Just get on that button. Just get on that button. That's all I'm asking. What's your beef? That's your segment. You're running out of time. Let's go to Johnny in Texas. Johnny, what's going on?
Jimmy, what's going on, Pimp?
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, listen, there are a few things I hate about the jungle, but my beef is that kook that called in from Youngstown. Dude, let me give you some perspective, bro. The perspective that you need is you should have turned that game off at halftime so you didn't get to come into the jungle and give one of the most moronic takes in the history of the jungle. And even though I only have 13 years in here, even I wouldn't make that phone call, you dummy. Hey, Jim, last thing, this isn't necessarily a beef, but my daughter's going to College Station in the spring, and I have a real problem knowing that I'm going to be sending money to Texas A&M where Myles Garrett is associated with. I cannot believe what I saw last night. I cannot believe that I saw a crime occur on a National Football League field. I could not believe it. I still can't believe it. And if you want more perspective on that, take a look at what could have happened, Jim. You alluded to it. If he would have hit him with the crown of that helmet, we're talking about a potential murder. When is this going to stop? 2 years mandatory unpaid suspension. I support it. I'm praying for it. Hey, Jim, wore your Radio Hall of Fame induction, wore the XUR4TI, and wore John in San Antonio wearing it to the pins on his mug for those emotional moments in life. I'm out.
All right, bro, you're mixing your metaphors and things. It's Jeff in San Antonio and John in New York. Both are known to get a bit dusty at times. He said, but you know what? He did answer my question. I said, what punishment fits that crime? Like, we know part of the punishment. Part of the punishment is an indefinite suspension. We don't know how long that indefinite suspension is. He just said 2 years. 2 years. Give him 2 years. I support 2 years. He's not going to get 2 years. I'm not even sure that it's going to carry over into next year. But as it stands right now, Garrett has been suspended reportedly for the rest of the regular season and the postseason, and there's a fine involved as well. And that's one thing. The NFL gets a lot of things wrong. I think they handled that the right way. It's swift, it's punitive, and they get out in front of it to the best of their ability and say that's not going to happen. We're not having that. That cannot happen. An indefinite suspension. So for all of you saying, what about Mason Rudolph? What did he say? What did he do? How about the fact that he grabbed on his helmet? The league didn't care. Freddie Kitchens didn't care. Baker Mayfield even took him to task. And I thought Baker Mayfield, somebody called up earlier and said, a Browns fan, yeah, what about our immature quarterback? What about our immature quarterback getting into it with Twitter trolls? What about our immature quarterback? Your immature quarterback in a really tough, tough spot got on national TV shortly after it happened and said, look, we got to be better than that. Now we're going to be without, I'm paraphrasing, now we're going to be without one of our better players, and that's going to hurt us. We have to be better. And then he chased that with, we all have to be better. We can all play better. But it's so true. When does a win feel like a loss? When that happens? And now Garrett, because he couldn't keep his head, now they have to play the rest of the season, and pretty much they have to win out, right? They've got to win out to have any shot at the postseason, and now they have to do that without their best defensive player. What's your beef? You're running out of time. I need a beef or two. 1-800-636-8686. I guarantee this lady clone's got beef. Kathleen in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Kathleen, what's up?
Hi. Miles Garrett is a dirty rat, and his suspension should carry over into all of next year. Most people seem to have forgotten that Sugar Baby Mason has already suffered a head injury earlier this year, and he did not deserve what he got last night. He didn't deserve it at all. And, yeah, suspend him for all of next year, too.
All right, Kathleen, thank you very much. Did she just sugar baby Mason? Did I hear that right? She just said, and not with a smile on her face either, that Miles Garrett is a dirty rat and that most people have already forgotten, quote, sugar baby Mason had already suffered a head injury. I had not forgotten that. I had not referenced that, but I had not forgotten that, quote, sugar baby Mason already had his bell rung earlier this year. That's true. So when you juxtapose the fact that sugar baby had already had his bell rung with the fact that his own helmet was used to crack down on it, I guess that is part of the story, part of the narrative. Quote, sugar baby was in this studio and came off very well. He had a tough night last night, boy. There was nothing good about that night for him. Prior to getting his helmet ripped off his head and then weaponized and used to smash him in the head, he had four picks and nothing was going right. Offensively, I mean, that's about as anemic an offense as I have ever seen. And they had guys, key guys going down, and Cleveland was getting after him. That was a very, very frustrating night for, quote, sugar baby.
Most people seem to have forgotten that sugar baby Mason.
Listen, I'm not saying that Miles Garrett didn't have a reason to be aggravated. I'm not saying that Mason Rudolph didn't grab his face mask first. I'm not even saying that maybe, possibly, he didn't kick at his junk. I know why Garrett was mad. I'm saying he's got to keep his head. He's got to maintain his composure. I'm saying he can't smash the other guy in the head with a helmet. That's what I'm saying. And that the NFL got it right by suspending him indefinitely. What's your beef? Normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays, next time you want to reach for a protein snack, be sure not to reach for a drink or a bar. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. It's tender. It's tasty real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. You want to make sure you ask for it by name because there is no other jerky that compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Let me set up hour number three for you very quickly. I've got a player for the Colorado State Rams, Josh Griffin, top of the third hour, about 10 minutes out. Peter Laviolette, Nashville Predators head coach. Notice we're talking a lot of hockey during the regular season. I want to get into Mello if I have time. Woj tweeted last night, quote, Portland is signing Carmelo Anthony, league source tells ESPN. You know, there was a time when a team signing Mello would have qualified as a Woj bomb. And that was the time when that bomb would have changed the face of the entire association. Not anymore. It's easy to forget. He really was that good. That was a 10-time All-Star, a scoring champ. That was then, this is now. So is that a good move or a bad move? I will get into that, if I can, next hour. If you're on hold, you want to take a shot, hang in there. there may be some time on the back end. But when we come back, we'll talk a little Colorado State football. Josh Griffin is my guest next year in the Jungle. I'm Jim Rome, hour number 3 coming up.